the title of my book, if I ever publish it, is It's Only a Movie. And it really derives from being with my mom in the movie theater and watching movies that were too painful to watch. And I clearly was suffering as I watched them, and she could pick that up, and she would hug me. She would stroke my leg, and she would say, "Honey, it's only a movie." And that was incredibly calming, centering, helpful. And of course, there comes a time when you're in a movie theater and your mom's not there. It's just you or you and your friends. And if you're like me at all, you become profoundly engaged by story. And sometimes it's hard to lose your distance. And what would happen is I would have to talk myself into it's only a movie, as though my mother were talking to me. And of course, as the years went by, it felt a little silly to have my mom in there talking to me. So it became my voice. And it was able, much of the time, to touch that still point, to that bit of a remove that allowed you to appreciate the aesthetic, to appreciate the story, to appreciate the characters without being totally swallowed up by the narrative of the story. Now, as a writer and a screenwriter, I kind of want people to be swallowed up by the story because it's more engaging, it's more entertaining, it's more experiential, and its core meaning and purpose, assuming it has one, absolutely is benefited by that engagement. But there remain times in certain films where being able to separate from the story is a skill set that helps. And if your mother didn't say it to you, and you haven't heard anybody else say it to you, if you didn't pick it up from Rudy, or you didn't pick it up from your spiritual practices and studies, or you're not hearing it clearly enough from me, there is a capacity in all of us to reach back into the mother, if you will, inside us all, and be comforted when the movie, or if you want to extrapolate that a little bit, when life itself becomes hard, too engaging, too dark, too difficult. And you want some kind of something to remind you that you're watching this. It's not you, you're watching it. And the idea of being a watcher in life is not something we as Westerners are trained to do. We are trained to be busy, engage, and to distract ourselves from things, but not to be the witness, the observer. That's just not something we have learned very much. We kind of can give ourselves over to some future deity, perhaps, that would take care of us in the end. But day to day, trying to get quiet enough to step back away from all of the drama that's in your life and the life that you're watching on television and the life that people around you are living is a skill set. And the skill set really is, remember, hear the voice, it's only a movie, even if it's your life. And that's really a big deal, because sometimes it's all you got to pull you back into stillness, observation, quietude, transcendence. And even if you've worked this out when you were 10 years old or 20 years old or somewhere along the way, it doesn't necessarily get easier. And I've been really learning that because a number of things are happening with me. One of them is I am engaging the world, story, television, movie, other people's lives more empathetically and dramatically than I ever have. So when somebody has suffering in their life, it becomes, in a way, my suffering. My skill set normally is to go in, breathe, Rudy's technique, let go, and then try to take some of that it's only a movie quietude and separation and bring it to the story for other people. That's why I keep teaching, because I can work the mechanism of going in, taking a breath, letting go, and evolving that so that it starts to move beyond the singularity of me, of Bruce guy, and it starts to spread out and reach into the narrative, the story itself, which is, in a way, your lives and even the lives of people on the screen. Not that I can affect the lives of people on the screen, but they have an enormous impact on me, and they have a way of showing me how good or not good I am at opening, surrender, letting go, and remembering the truth of what I'm seeing as a part of life that we need to observe, touch, empathize with, and remember it's only a movie. Because I'm a member of the Motion Picture Academy, and because they send me literally hundreds of films every year to watch, to nominate, and then ultimately to vote on, I kind of take it as an obligation. I don't know why I do that. I think probably on some level I could just go, who needs that? But I do take it seriously. And I have a kind of a screening room in the house, and I have been watching the movies for this year, 2022. And I have never, ever witnessed a more depressing, more difficult, more unpleasant group of movies that are presenting themselves now, one after another, after another, after another. And I could just choose not to watch them. I try to find what other people are saying that makes me try to pick out of the hundreds and hundreds of films which ones maybe I should focus my attention on. So I look at, you know, the various critics and organizations that pick movies. And I look at those films, and they are as depressing as the ones I'm not choosing to look at. And some are very artful and very successful as films. But I'm saying, here I am, nearly 80, having watched movies my whole life, having been fairly good at being able to go, it's only a movie, but discovering I'm not that good at it right now. I am getting sucked into these stories and into the life of the world, if you will, in a way that I never have been before. And it's not hard to look at the story of the world as it's unfolding in our life, in our lifetime right now, as very dramatic, dark, threatening, everything that would make a good movie, to be honest, except it's quote unquote really happening. Things are difficult in the world around us. And of course, sorry, I bring this up weekly. If you're in a body that's getting old and things are falling apart and structures are not what they were, and there is a story in the dissolution of your own being, and that you can't relate to the world from previous normal anything, it's just a completely new phenomenon day by day by day. You have got to develop, or you have to find a real mechanism that will go inside you and find this place that will, if it can be your mother's voice or your best friend's voice or your father's voice or your grandparents' voice or whatever it is, and remind yourself, it's only a movie. Hard to do when the world is getting dark, when all the Academy movies are getting dark, when television is getting dark, that even comedy is based on dark forces. That you inside have to find a greater mechanism now than you may ever have had to find before. It's like, that's not fair. You know, you're old. How do you, not all of you, obviously, but some of us are old and are discovering it takes more work in a way than it ever did to find that still pointedness that goes to the world, to everything around us. It is an extraordinary effort that requires a life's work, if you will. I've shared my book with a few people, and one of them wrote, actually two of them wrote back and said, you know, I think I'm going to start meditating. And they're, you know, they're 80 or close. And it somehow was a persuasive tool that maybe they should give themselves over to some inner space because the world was becoming too much with them, if you will. And I kind of laughed at it because I know that it takes a life work. It takes a life's work of sitting just to arrive at, okay, it's only a movie. Be present. And what I discover in myself, and I need to do it regularly, is a still pointedness that feels like I got a big bunch of popcorn in front of me, and I got a Diet Pepsi. Forgive me for those of you who don't drink Diet or Pepsi, but I'm sitting there with that, and I'm watching the movie, and I'm enjoying it. And I feel like a kind of, this is interesting. I don't know where it goes. I don't know how it ends. I have no idea where this thing leads me. But if you're in a movie theater, you know, it's surrounded maybe by people who aren't coughing and you're feeling comforted and you're quiet and you're watching this movie and it's on a big screen and it's bigger than life and you're engaged and you're enjoying it and you're finding this quietude inside that's going, this is great. This is amazing. This is a wonderful film. This is incredible. And I get that about my own life. I get as I sit still, as I do my walking, which you guys know, and around this room that you can get a sense of, and around the whole house. And I do it regularly because it's cold out and hilly and snowy and all that. And I just get this feeling of, oh, wow. This is so sweet. This is so good. It feels so good. I walk by my wife at the table or cleaning at the sink, and I go, oh, wow. And we put in a Christmas tree over here the other day. My son Josh bought it. Eli picked it out. We decorated it together. Have a Hanukkah menorah over there. We're very ecumenical, of course, and this family full of Buddhas and everything else. And we celebrate. We celebrate the immediacy of our life, even though we are surrounded by what comes to us on the New York Times, that comes to us on the big TV screen, which is the news of the world, which is like the most dramatic movie I know at this point. And I go, mm-hmm. And I don't reach for the popcorn so much, but I just walk and I'm quiet. And I go, in a sense, it's only a movie. Now, of course, the movie unfolding around us is a lot more impactful than the movie on the screen. You can turn that off. You can walk away from the TV. You cannot look at the newspaper and all that stuff. The movie unfolding around you is probably in the immediate vicinity. Okay, kind of interesting. Maybe you have some good friends, you have people you love, you have dinner with somebody, you know, you go for a little bit of a walk, you feel comfortable in a house that's heated when it's cold outside. You remember the people who are perhaps in Ukraine and elsewhere who are not sitting in warm rooms, who do not have water, who do not even have rooms. And that comes over you, and there's a part of you that just goes empathetically, God bless. And then you go, thank you for the momentary gift of your watching the movie and not being in the movie as such. But it can happen. The movie can descend upon you and could at any moment in all of our lives. And if the movie becomes the living presence of our lives, which it can do with just, like I say, the decay of your body, the computer falling apart, no internet, all these different things that happen. You know, it's your story. It's not somebody else's story. It's your failure to get the comfort and the things you need. And it can happen at any moment in time. That's when it's only a movie is hard to get to. It's really hard to get to, but it's also the moment that you have to do it. You have to take a breath. You have to go inside. You have to find the still pointedness. You have to ask for help to surrender to what is. Now, whether that what is a sore back and a headache and, you know, you got to run to the store to get something you forgot or whatever your thing is, you have to go, okay. And you do the stuff that's required. You have a headache, you take a Tylenol, or something, you have to go to the store, you get in the car, and you drive carefully and you enjoy the scenery, you get the stuff, you come home, you have to wait in line for 20 minutes in the store, you go, well, okay. And you feel your way through that. Yesterday, Blanche and I went to the store and there were these really sweet people around us. I could tell they were sweet and they ended up behind us in line. And I have never done this before, but I told the cashier, ring up their stuff and put it on my tab. It's called pass it on. You've all heard of that. I'd never actually done pass it on, but I highly recommend it. It felt so wonderful to pass it on. And that is an action that you take in the story of this moment in this life that changes the equation of the life and makes you feel like you are affecting the movie, not just being affected by the movie. You can take some control, and it has to do with action. It has to do with reaching out. It has to do with how you are and the being of whatever you want to call it, goodness and kindness in the world. And you become part of the writer, if you will, of the story. It can happen in very dark places and very dark times. A friend of mine who, and a student who was online earlier, is off to Ukraine this week to try to get his wife's mother out of the Ukraine. He managed to get her daughter out 6 months ago. He's making another trip. This is not talk. This is entering the movie. This is entering into the equation. We are, you know, at some points in life allowed just to watch. At some points we are not. At some points we are in the story. But at every point in it, watching it, whatever your relationship is to what's going on around you, the idea is find that place, even if you are fully engaged in the disruption of everything that you know to be true and real and comfortable, and try to look at it and remember it's only a movie. Now, it's not going to feel like it's only a movie, but that soft spot, my mother's voice coming to me in the most difficult of moments, is your mother's voice. It is all of our mother's voices. It is the voice of the universe which mothered us in the beginning, and it will come back to you. It will insist that you grow up and find your own voice at any number of times, because your mother doesn't go to the movies with you when you're 10 or 12, maybe. But you start to find your voice, and then you start to go deeper, and you find the universal voice that will say, it's okay. Only a movie. And in the end, I can only hope that this will be true for all of us. The great walk out of the theater, you know, drop the popcorn in the trash and put Diet Coke in the trash, take care of business, do the stuff you got to do. And you walk out into the light and you go, wow, that was amazing. What an amazing film. What an incredible story. I almost lost myself in it. It was so powerful. And you can live that life. You can even lose yourself in it, if you will, but it will be over at some point. Theater lights will come up. You will hopefully do the right thing and clean out the theater so the guys don't have to come in and do all the cleanup for you. You will walk outside, and hopefully if it's daylight, it will be like, oh, wow. Or if it's nighttime, you'll see clearly. and you will have this feeling that you watched something that was worth it, I hope, for all of your sakes. One way or another, I just want you to remember, if you get lost, if you get stuck, if you get harmed in the day-to-day struggle of being a human being, if you find yourself really unhappy, if you find yourself so engaged in the process, reach inside, take a breath, and ask for help to remember. Rudy would say to surrender. I'll say, remember, it's only a movie. And if it doesn't work, call me. I will get on the phone and I will tell you the same thing. And I will let you know that you're loved, that it's all going to be fine, that it has a good ending, I think. And if it has a bad ending, it's still only a movie. It's over. You walk outside and it's like, whatever it is, beautiful day, freezing cold, but it's life and it's alive and it's vibrant and you are welcomed back into totality. So with all of that in mind, trying to make this a meditation class, let me just remind you, the key to the movie and the reminder that it's a movie is sitting still, being still, walking in walking quietude, if you will, remembering as deeply as you can that you are witnessing one of the best movies ever made. And it's going to get you on every level, emotionally, dramatically. You're going to be caught by it at different times in different ways, but it is an amazing show. Enjoy it. Thank you. I don't think I have anybody's voices coming through the computer for reasons I don't understand. The same reason I can barely send out invitations anymore. So maybe that will get rectified along the way. What? I can't, the volume on my computer for some reason is not even registering itself right now. For no reason that I can figure out. I assume you hear me, so the volume must be loud enough. Thank you guys for coming. Let me just say, the Christmas, New Year's are on Sundays. There will be no class. The Sunday after the New Year's will be a class in California, West Coast. And then in New York, it'll be in a month from now. So you guys are free of classes for that period of time. And you can find your own way to your own self. In the end, that's pretty good practice. Those of you who are back in a month, I look forward to seeing you. But mostly, I wish you a wonderfully, as they say, Merry Christmas. You know, can be full of merriment. I wish you a happy New Year. It can be full of happiness. And I really love you guys so much, and I love that you are attending this particular thing we do, you know, which is a shared communion of like minds and souls that find this real embrace, I think, in connectivity. So thank you guys for being here. I really wish you a really wonderful beginning of the new year. It's a new story of sorts. And starting a new story is always full of hope. Hey, Mark. And so
thank you.
Lots of love to everybody.
Thank you, Bruce.
And yeah. I tell Greg, I say, send my love. Everybody, you know, again, I tell Marina, I send my love. Good luck if this is the week you're taking off. And enjoy Nice, you know, love you. Thank you all. Thank you all for being here. I truly appreciate it. And
thank you, Bruce.
See you next
thank
week.
You. Thank you, Bruce.
If you have questions, call me. All right.